WML News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. Puerto Rico has a new governor. Veteran politician Pedro Pierluisi was sworn in yesterday after embattled Governor Ricardo Rosello stepped down. Correspondent Leila Santiago.
A lot of people here are saying they're not happy with that selection, and more so, they are questioning the constitutionality of that decision. Why is that? They say Pierluisi was confirmed by the House, but he was not confirmed by the Senate.
The president of Puerto Rico Senate isn't happy with the decision and has hinted he may fight it. The search is on for a hit-and-run driver who plowed into a pedestrian on Benning Road Northeast Thursday night, sending the man flying over the car and tumbling to the ground. D.C. police say the victim was walking on the road when he was hit. That victim has life-threatening injuries. He looked like a police officer, but he wasn't. A Hanover man met some real officers this week when they arrested him for multiple charges, including impersonating a cop.
Christopher Tate was wearing what some would consider police regalia, and he was going to mostly Hispanic-owned businesses, presenting himself as a detective or an agent of a federal authority, and soliciting money for a charity that he was running from these businesses.
Anne Arundel County Police Sergeant Jackie Davis says Tate told the businesses he could give them tax breaks or help them if they gave him money. Other victims said Tate told them he was with ICE, and they feared if they didn't give him money, they could be deported. No verdict yet in the case of an Israeli company executive charged in Maryland with orchestrating a scheme to defraud tens of thousands of people out of tens of millions of dollars. 38-year-old Lee Elbaz is being tried on federal wire fraud and conspiracy charges. A jury deliberated 11 hours since Thursday and didn't get a verdict yesterday. They'll regroup Monday. A Justice Department prosecutor says Elbaz trained employees to lie to investors and rigged the odds, making them and recouping any money. American rapper A$AP Rocky is back in L.A. He flew from Sweden to the States yesterday in a private jet after Swedish authorities agreed he could await a decision in an assault trial at home. President Donald Trump had been pushing for the rapper's release. Correspondent Salma Abdelaziz.
President Trump even going so far at one point as to send his special envoy for hostage affairs. Yesterday, we saw a leaked letter from that special envoy to the Swedish prosecution saying that there could be, quote, negative consequences for bilateral relations between the two countries.
Rocky and two associates are accused of beating a 19-year-old man to death outside a fast food restaurant in Stockholm June 30th. It's back-to-school shopping time, and Virginia is hoping to get you into stores this weekend to take advantage of its annual tax holiday.
It really is just an opportunity for people to buy these items without paying sales tax. It's an opportunity for them to save money.
Stephanie Benson with the Virginia Department of Taxation says the sales tax holiday goes through Sunday.
People can purchase qualified school supplies, clothing, and footwear. We're talking about school supplies that cost $20 or less per item, clothing and footwear that cost $100 or less per item.
Maryland has a similar tax holiday week that starts on August 11th. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, the Nats shut out the Diamondbacks 3-0, and the O's fell to the Blue Jays 5-2. Up next, traffic and weather.
Win a date night at Wolf Trap to see Ringo Starr and his all-star band August 11th. You'll win tickets plus a picnic dinner before the show. Join legendary musician Sir Ringo Starr and his bandmates Colin Hay from Men at Work, Steve Lukather and Greg Bissonette from Toto, and Greg Raleigh from Santana and Journey for an evening of iconic hits from the Beatles and more. Ringo Starr and his all-star band coming to Wolf Trap August 10th and 11th. Purchase tickets at wolftrap.org. Plus, your chance to win tickets is at WMAL.com/contests.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
Retirement Key Radio, Saturday afternoon at 2 here on WMAL and at retirementkeyradio.com.
WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
You will find some delays northbound on 395 at Washington Boulevard with a work zone along the right side. Stay to your left and allow a little extra travel time. In Seven Corners, there is a bridge replacement project taking place this weekend that has Arlington Boulevard closed in both directions between Patrick Henry Drive and South Street. Watch for posted detours in the area. This is also affecting Wilson Boulevard. That will be closed at Route 7 also for the bridge replacement project. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, a mix of clouds and sun, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, a high around 90. Right now, 74 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM,
This is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. The first weekend of August, but certainly things have not quieted down for the summer in politics. John Gizzi covers the White House for Newsmax. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist. John, good morning.
Good morning to you, and truly that was the week that was again.
Well, on Monday you had a headline predicting that, quote, Trump's DNI pick, John Ratcliffe, faces confirmation fight of a lifetime, and they didn't even get to round one. Both of them gave up, end of the week. And what's next in the search for a director of national intelligence?
Well, clearly the main argument against Congressman Ratcliffe was that he would be the first director of national intelligence who was neither an ambassador, had military credentials, or any intelligence background. And even though he had an exemplary record as U.S. attorney and had served 6 months on the House Intelligence Committee, that was just not going to cut it with the number of Republicans that the president needed to secure the votes to confirm him in the Senate. When the president talked to White House correspondents yesterday afternoon, he made it clear he was uncertain that Ratcliffe could be confirmed. Now they're turning to someone who has the credentials and would assuage any of the critics that Trump is just putting in someone who likes him or defends him. That's pointing to a man by the name of Fred Flights. He is currently president of the Center for National Security and has spent his entire adult life in intelligence, working for the House Intelligence Committee, the State Department, and the National Defense Agency. I might add that he is someone who has met the president already, and my sources say the president was mightily impressed with him. The other name that comes up is also someone with a gilt-edged resume, General Joseph Dunford, United States Marine Corps, the retiring chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He would probably be confirmed on a voice vote. He's well-liked by members of Congress of both parties and respected throughout the Pentagon and the intelligence community. The problem is his two closest friends are his fellow Marine generals, John F. Kelly and James Mad Dog Mattis, the former White House Chief of Staff and former Secretary of Defense, respectively. Clearly, these are people who parted their employment on not-so-good terms with President Trump, and it may well be that the president thinks that this old Marine is cut from the same cloth as the other two old Marines. We'll find out because the president said he's going to make a selection soon.
The name Sue Gordon, the deputy director of national intelligence, has been floated around. One of the correspondents asked the president at the White House late Friday afternoon about it, and he said, "Do you like Sue Gordon?" And I thought that was an interesting comment coming from the president. Adam Schiff has actually sung the praises of Sue Gordon, but she's already there. Does that mean that she's not going to shake things up because she's part of the institution?
I think that's what the president, in his own unique way, was saying. Sue Gordon is someone whose establishment, in his eyes, now, this has not stopped him from promoting other people who are insiders. CIA Director Gina Haspel, a 35-year employee of the company, being a case in point. But clearly, there is something the administration does not like about Sue Gordon, perhaps that she had a close relationship with retired DNI Dan Coats, someone the president holds in minimum high regard. In any event, I would not wager much time nor money on the proposition that Sue Gordon will be the next director of national intelligence.
Maybe a time to buy stock in a moving van company, because 9 Republicans will be moving out of their offices now on Capitol Hill right after the 2020 election. Will Hurd from Texas, the latest. Why and what's next for Will Hurd?
Well, it's interesting we're having this conversation, Rick, 14 months before the next general election. That's right. November 2020 is still a long way off. And it must be a bit unnerving to the Republicans to have so many members call it quits. In fact, of those 9, 3 announced out of here in just the last week. All of them are from Texas, by the way. Congressman Mike Conaway, Congressman Pete Olson, and the latest, Will Hurd, the only Republican member among the 435 House members who happens to be black. This should set off a warning bell to Republicans, not just because they needed black congressman or congresswoman and now have none on the House side, but also because his district in Texas is one that is 77% Hispanic. It has been won by Republicans in the past, but no natural successor or heavyweight contender has emerged on the Republican side as the heir apparent to Will Hurd. One final point. I enjoyed Will Hurd tremendously. I covered him early in his 9-year career in Congress and found him fascinating. Someone who joined the CIA at 22, he wanted to learn to be a computer programmer, and instead became a full-fledged agent working overseas. In his words, I came in the door wanting to be Q and came out as James Bond. He was someone who knew the intelligence issue, who could speak about his party's lack of diversity and need to attract other minorities, and he was a pretty nice fellow to talk to. Will Hurd will be missed.
Democratic debates in the National Cathedral. Getting into politics, that's next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
You will find some slow traffic in Virginia now at 95 southbound, headed from the 95 Express Lane entrance north of 610, headed towards the Fredericksburg-Stafford County line. Also some delays northbound on 395 near Washington Boulevard with a work zone along the right side of the roadway. And some delays through the long-term work zone on 295 northbound between the Naval Research Lab and the Suitland Parkway in the right lane. It is slow throughout that area. Now keep in mind that in the district, Franklin Street is closed in northeast in both directions between 4th Street and 6th Street because of water main repair work. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy for today, a high of 89. Partly cloudy Sunday with a high of 90. Isolated thunderstorms on Monday, high to 85. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high to 90. Wednesday, isolated thunderstorms with a high of 90. 73 right now, headed to 89. 7:15 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi's with us. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. 2 nights of insight into the Democratic presidential candidates this week, the debates in Detroit. What stood out to you?
What stood out to me is that for the first time, Democrats who sing hosannas to Barack Obama, who insist it would be a great idea if he could run for a third term as president, now are suddenly turning on their last elected president. That's right. Joe Biden was being attacked because he proudly points out he was Barack's vice president and that he and Barack worked closely on so many things. And to find Democrats who very proudly invoked the name of the 44th president and appeared with him in the past, and some of whom even urged his wife to run this time, and now to find him abandoned, makes me wonder, has the Democratic Party, to use a term Robert Novak said about the Republicans in the 1960s, lost its head?
You wrote an article about the National Cathedral condemning President Trump's criticism of the city of Baltimore and Representative Elijah Cummings, the National Cathedral likening Trump to Senator Joseph R. McCarthy. Whatever happened to the separation of church and state?
I wonder about that myself, quite frankly. And I am one who was always very happy to see priests and ministers and rabbis weigh in on public issues. But when they get personal and start focusing on an individual such as President Trump and use the language that they used last week, one has to ask the same question you asked. Now, the National Cathedral pointed out that they did not agree with President Trump's rhetoric about Baltimore. They made repeated references to the late Senator Joe McCarthy of Wisconsin and his hearings in the Senate investigating communist infiltration in government. And they quoted the famous line of Boston attorney Joseph Welch during the Army McCarthy hearings, "Senator, have you no sense of decency?" It didn't matter that they got the entire history leading up to what Welch said completely wrong. It was just Welch's words, which, by the way, are thrown around a lot when one wants to condemn something. Quote, "We have come to accept a level of insult and abuse and political discord that violates each person's sacred identity as a child of God," read the statement signed by Bishop Marianne Booty, an Episcopal prelate, and her two colleagues at the National Cathedral. "We have come to accept as normal a steady stream of language and accusations coming from the highest office in the land that plays to racist elements in society. After 2 years of President Trump's words and action, when will Americans have enough?" End of quote. That's strong medicine, all right, and it certainly is something very common in the political arena. But coming from people whose primary job is to save souls, that was a tad unusual.
You asked the president a very interesting question about Venezuela this week, and the president gave you a very interesting answer.
He certainly did, and one thing that has to be said about Donald Trump, he gets to the point. My question was simple. Was the White House considering a blockade or a quarantine of Venezuela now that the evidence is overwhelming that there's involvement with the Maduro government by Russia, China, and Iran? And the blockade, of course, could be construed as an act of war. The quarantine was deployed by President Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, when all ships were stopped going into Cuba and searched for weapons. It was directly responsible for Russia deciding to pull its missiles out of the island in the Caribbean. In the case of President Trump, asked about these options, he said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Are you really considering it?" And he said, "Yes, I am," twice. It doesn't get more point and succinct than that. Now, the interesting thing is that there were a lot of follow-up questions to the National Security Council and to the State Department. of such a move. There were no replies. So on this one, stay tuned.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, and you can follow him by just going to Google, Gizzi on Politics. John, thank you as always.
Thank you for having me, and once again, every week I come back, it's never boring.
7:21, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland. Also, a highlight or two from the president's speech in Cincinnati at the rally on Thursday night.
We call it Marlowe Furniture's Clearance of the Decade, because that's exactly what it is. The biggest sales event Marlowe has run in the last 30 years. Savings on thousands of items. Up to 82%. Marlowe's Clearance of the Decade. On now.
The Internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network. Set curfews with parental controls and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $34.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Plus, ask about enhanced security for safer browsing. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Ends 9/21/19. Restrictions apply. New performance 60 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm, phones, mm-hmm, life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm,
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-529-2856. That's 800-529-2856.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-529-2856.
Write it down.
800-529-2856.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Hello, Mr. Vice President. Mike Pence is here. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
And listen.
I listen every morning as I drive to the office.
WMAL.
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and a good friend of the program, Dr. Ben Carson.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Senator Tom Cotton.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Kellyanne Conway.
It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for being here.
On 105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
It's 7:23. This is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. It's good to have you along with us. And President Trump had a rally in Cincinnati on Thursday evening, and quite a crowd, a packed house as usual. And the president spoke out on a number of different issues, and a lot of the controversy about his comments about America's inner cities. And here's how he sized it up in regard to the Democrats and America's inner cities.
No one has paid a higher price for the far left's destructive agenda than Americans living in our nation's inner cities. We spend billions and billions and billions for years and years and years, and it's stolen money, and it's wasted money, and it's a shame. The conditions in Nancy Pelosi's once great city of San Francisco are deplorable. They're deplorable. Look at Los Angeles with the tents and the horrible, horrible, disgusting conditions. Look at San Francisco. For decades, these communities have been run exclusively by Democrat politicians, and it's been total one-party control of the inner cities. The Democrat record is one of neglect and corruption and decay, total decay. The Democrats have taxed and regulated jobs and opportunity out of these cities. and out of existence. They've squeezed the blood out of them.
So that's the president speaking in Cincinnati, and he also spoke about the developments on the border.
I want to thank, by the way, the country of Mexico. They've got 21,000 soldiers on the border right now. I'm starting to like Mexico a lot. They do a lot more for us than the Democrats do, right? A lot more.
And that's just a little sampling of the President's Rally Cincinnati on Thursday night. 7:26 now on the Saturday Morning Update.
We're here with May. True or false? Most people lie on their online dating profiles, but not you.
True.
Turns out you live with your mom, and you're not a hedge fund manager. You're a hedge trimmer.
I gotta go. Bye.
Look, people, It's Just Lunch is a dating service you can trust. Guaranteed dates with busy professionals like you, vetted by expert matchmakers who help you find real connection. Visit itsjustlunchdc.com or call 202-466-6699 to learn more. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
Hi, I'm Raymond Denon, Vice President of Optima Tax Relief. If you're in debt to the IRS, there's a lot you need to know. Starting with rule number one, don't mess with the IRS. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, even take your home or business. That's all true. But it's also true that there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like us, the experts at Optima Tax Relief. We have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and we've resolved over $500 million in tax debt for our clients. We'll stand between you and the IRS and fight to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I get it. Walking into a weight loss clinic can be a lesson in humility. But not if you know that inside are non-judgmental, empathetic, professional EMP 180 client coaches focused on your goals.
Hi, I'm Wes Stearns from Woodbridge. I am a real EMP customer. Before the program, I was pushing size 38 pants. I'm pulling up pants that are size 34. It's a home run. I lost 21 pounds in 29 days. EMP is great. You have tons of food to choose from. It's good tasting food. It's easy to follow the plan. I love it. And when you get on that scale every week and see the results, you're going to trust them. I have not felt this great in 30 years. I'm able to work faster, harder. I wake up very well rested. It has changed my life 100%.
Set your first consult at EMP180.com. Or call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Financing's available. So are first responder, military, and teacher discounts. EMP 180 weight loss. Use it to lose it for life.
7:28, you're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Well, you saw all the presidential candidates on the Democratic side. You saw them all on Tuesday and Wednesday, except for Michael Moore's answer. Here she is.
It's not enough just to beat Trump. The only way to remove Trump is to crush Trump. And that's the question that has to be asked. Who can crush Trump? Who's the street fighter? And frankly, I think there's a person that could do this. If the election were held today, there is one person that would crush Trump. And she hasn't announced yet. And her last name rhymes with Obama. In fact, it is Obama. Michelle Obama.
That's the answer from Michael Moore. Michelle Obama did say at the end of the week that she would not be running for president. So, Michael, sorry to dash your dreams. We've got the 7:30 news coming up next with Heather Curtis. We're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland.
It's now a distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the Larry O'Connor Show with President Donald Trump. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, and I greatly appreciate the nice things you've said.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Newt Gingrich, morning, Mr. Speaker.
Well, it's always great to be with you guys. It's just fun.
Thank you so much. WMAL.
Mike Lee, Senator of Utah. Thank you for joining us, Senator Lee.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. President Donald Trump needs to nominate a new pick for National Intelligence Director. Congressman John Ratcliffe withdrew from consideration yesterday. Many Democrats questioned he was even qualified for the job. Correspondent Abby Phillip.
In the days after he was named, many Republicans simply could only say that they didn't know anything about him. And the president became a little bit concerned that this confirmation was not going to be what he had been told it would be by his friends and allies.
The president says Ratcliffe decided to stay in Congress so as to avoid, quote, months of slander and libel. A fake police uniform and badge helped a Hanover man steal thousands of dollars from immigrants in Anne Arundel County, according to police. Christopher Tate posed as a cop and asked Hispanic business owners for money for charity, according to Sergeant Jackie Davis.
Other victims came forward and they said that Tate had identified himself as actually a member of ICE, and this led them to fear immigration repercussions if they did not give money to this charity.
Tate was arrested on multiple charges this week, including theft and impersonating a police officer. An illegal immigrant who'd been living in Alexandria is now back in his native El Salvador. ICE arrested Alvaro Angel in May because he was wanted for aggravated homicide in his native country. An immigration judge said he needed to be deported. He took an ICE Air Operation charter to El Salvador Thursday. Protesters in Hong Kong ignoring police warnings today and going past the designated endpoint for their rally. They're now calling for a citywide shutdown Monday. In sports, the Nats shut out the Diamondbacks 3-0 and the O's fell to the Blue Jays 5-2. Traffic and weather next.
Old Bay presents this woman who got an Old Bay tattoo.
I put Old Bay on crabs, corn, in sweet tea, on pizza, sloppy joes. I put it on everything I cook. I thought might as well put it on my body.
Are you a bigger Old Bay fan than this woman? Show your love on Instagram with the hashtag Old Bay Fan Contest for a chance to win an Old Bay electric scooter.
Ice cream, caramel popcorn, deer meat.
Old Bay. You don't just like it. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 United States and D.C. 18 and over as of May 31st. Ends 8/20. Rules at oldbay.com/contest. Void where prohibited.
Oh, hi, Amy. What brings you to the Xfinity store today?
Do the hokey pokey and sing me something.
No.
Eat some spaghetti.
What?
Do the worm.
Why would I do that?
Well, I hear Xfinity gives me control.
Oh, yeah. Over your in-home Wi-Fi. You can see who's online, you can pause it, you can set a curfew for your kids.
Wait, so I don't have control over everything?
No.
So that guy outside that I just made wash my car?
It looks like he's getting inside.
I gotta go.
Take control of your Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity Internet, TV, and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 years with a 2-year agreement. And get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Ends 8/4/19. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTP and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Watch for an accident now on the outer loop of the Beltway at Van Dorn Street in the two left lanes, causing a brief delay there. Another accident is on 395 northbound, just north of Glebe Road. Looks like that has just been moved to the right shoulder, but use caution there. And on 395 northbound at Washington Boulevard, you will still find a work zone along the right side, causing some slow traffic. Meanwhile, we do have delays traveling on 95 southbound, headed towards Aquia and the Fredericksburg-Stafford County line. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, a mix of clouds and sun, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, or high around 90. Right now, 74 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto
Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
7:36, this is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is a CIA-trained intel operative and president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good to have you with us.
Hey, good morning. Good to be on. Thanks.
All right. The United States and Russia both walking away from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty this week. What does that mean from a security and military standpoint as to the demise of that treaty?
Well, militarily, it was created during the Cold War for purposes of trying to essentially create the path to the START treaty and things like that, and specifically to essentially lower the tensions in Europe, specifically Germany and the Europeans were worried about what would happen if you had a slugfest with tactical nuclear weapons. And so this was the first step to kind of step away from all of that. It's essentially outlived its usefulness by two factors. First, the Russians, who were then the Soviets back in the 80s, have long since started retesting and redesigning weapons in the intermediate range class of weapon. So they have been actively violating the treaty. We've notified them multiple times, even during the Obama years, and to no avail. Nothing happened. Secondly, there are other adversaries who have never been a signatory to the treaty who have created this class of weapon. So therefore, the United States recognized it was time for us to reassess our ability to conduct military operations using intermediate nuclear weapons, and that's why we stepped back and stepped out. It's completely justified. I think even the European, the NATO folks are with us on this based on the requirements, and I think it's a good and necessary move, and despite what the Russians are whining about, they were long ago violating the tenets of it.
All right, you mentioned other countries. When you look at the situation, you've got the United States, and we face threats from Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. How would you do in sort of an overview assessment of their capabilities when it comes to particular weaponry?
Well, this is part of what the Pentagon is doing now, is kind of reassessing globally, and they've been doing this for the past 3 years. What specific threats need to be addressed most directly. And essentially, it's a threat-based assessment, and the INF Treaty was one of the things which had to be reassessed by the fact there was a gap in our capability. And, you know, there was just the JROC, JWICA process, and that's technical terms for basically each combatant command has to assess the threat within their area. They have to then put together a programmatic stipulation to Congress for funding. So that just happened, I think, recently based on I was talking to folks at the Pentagon about this yesterday. So that process is always ongoing, and it's always being reassessed. So, again, the INF Treaty issue has been part of that process for a few years now.
All right, I want to turn to Afghanistan, and again, the military aspects of the troop withdrawal. We're talking about going down to 8,500 troops. I believe we're currently at 14,000. And the question is, the Taliban negotiations, can we trust them?
Well, the Taliban can only be trusted as much as you can verify and then be able to hammer them if there's issues not relating to their living up to their agreement, and obviously they're not. Pakistan is a key to this. And Pakistan has to be more basically active in the process to make sure the Taliban, who they control whole parts of, the Haqqani Network is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Pakistani Intelligence Service. And secondly, regarding troop numbers, it's never, I wrote a book about this, Operation Darkheart. It's never been about troop numbers. It's about the mission you give the troops. I would argue you can be as effective with 8,500 as you could with 80,000, depending on how you empower the commanders. And trust me, if you actually gave the commanders the ability to go out and do what they need to do, they could go out and do some amazing operations to get the Pakistanis' attention and to get things done. So it's more of an issue of political will of how you allow the troops to function rather than a number of troops.
I want to turn to the death of the son of Osama bin Laden. Apparently, U.S. forces involved in a strike that took him out this week. And what does that mean for al-Qaeda? Because he was reportedly the heir to al-Qaeda.
There was a series a few years ago where NXS was looking for a new lead singer, and you know, they had a whole TV series about it. I see this as kind of the same parallel.
Wow, that's like an interesting analogy there.
It's like a hair band looking for a new front man trying to come back, you know, and that's what it really is. Al-Qaeda, for the most part, it's not gone away. It's really been degraded. And I think under President Trump, there's been even further aggressive degradation of anything they're trying to do. So it's kind of like a persistent virus. They keep trying to come back, and I think this move was good to try to both symbolically and effectively stop any major ability of al-Qaeda to resurge. So that's why you saw what happened, and, you know, I think we'll continue to stay on top of it.
Okay, a lot of talk this week about the impending release of the Inspector General's investigation of investigators, and there was a referral for James Comey for prosecution, Department of Justice choosing at this point not to pursue that. Your assessment of where we are in the investigation of the investigators?
Well, I think there's two parts to it. There's still a discovery process ongoing, kind of examining all the internal documents by the Attorney General, Attorney General Barr and his folks, as well as, I think, a legal assessment of what would be required to actually prosecute some of this. I can't profess to understand why they chose to not prosecute Comey over his leaking, very clear leaking and provable leaking of classified documents. I know a lot of people are upset about that. But I'd like to believe, Rick, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm hoping that the reason they're hanging back is they have bigger fish that they can fry regarding the Comey wrongdoing, specifically on the FISA issue and the whole episode relating to the now completely debunked a Russian collusion narrative. To me, that's much more serious, and to me, should carry much more of a serious charge relating to sedition or something along that line. So, you know, hope springs eternal that you're going to see equal justice for equal crimes met out at that level. So that's what I'm counting on based on some of the folks I've talked to.
So, in other words, his sigh of relief may be short-lived.
I believe that Comey should be saving up any money he makes off his book for big attorney fees, which are probably down the road.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, so great to have you with us. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
Our pleasure. It's 7:43. You are listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. KT McFarland is coming up next. We've got Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center right now.
Watch for an accident now in Virginia on the outer loop of the Beltway right at Van Dorn Street, blocking the two left lanes, causing some slowdowns there. Also still seeing slow traffic on northbound 395 through the work zone at Washington Boulevard along the right side. Stay to your left and allow extra travel time. Also some delays on 95 south in Virginia headed from Aquia towards the Fredericksburg-Stafford County line. So far traveling the Beltway, though, in Maryland, traffic is still moving at a good pace. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy for today, a high of 89. Partly cloudy Sunday with a high of 90. Isolated thunderstorms Monday, high to 85. Partly cloudy on Tuesday, we'll be up around 90. And isolated thunderstorms for Wednesday with a high also of 90. 73 in Washington, we're headed to 89. And it's 7:44 on the Saturday Morning Update.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm, phones, mm-hmm, life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds, for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you gotta say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-529-2856. That's 800-529-2856.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-529-2856.
Write it down.
800-529-2856.
It's the Big Screen Store's Black Friday Summer Sale. Two 75-inch Samsung 4K TVs, just $19.99. Plus, save up to $2,000 on Samsung's best TVs. Get Black Friday pricing now. The Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, our prices beat Best Buy and online, guaranteed. Plus, we double the Samsung warranty, and you get delivery and installation installed by pros on your schedule. Not even Amazon can do that. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store is your motion furniture headquarters with innovative furniture featuring power headrests, full power recline, USB ports, lighting and accessories, power lumbar support, plus an incredible selection. The Big Screen Store. It's the Big Screen Store's Black Friday Summer Sale. Two 75-inch Samsung 4K TVs, just $19.99. Plus, save up to $2,000 on Samsung's best TVs. Get Black Friday pricing now. The Big Screen Store.
.746, you're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. It is an honor to be joined by KT McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. Good morning, KT.
Good morning.
John Ratcliffe, nomination in place on Monday, nomination terminated on Friday. And your assessment of why that went south. I know that the president, one of the reasons behind the president selecting John Ratcliffe is that he would be coming in as an outsider, not part of the national security establishment. But your thoughts on Ratcliffe and what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical Trump urge to, as you say, not want to pick from the establishment, not want to take from the foreign policy community or the people who've been running Washington and the country for decades. And so Ratcliffe has now been forced to withdraw because the Democrats in Congress and their allies and the media, it's often the same group, they're turning every issue, every policy, every hearing, every confirmation into a pitched battle and in a partisan civil war. I mean, it's to the point where if you've got a bunch of overdue library books from 10th grade, that could be made to look like some major crime and you're a thief. It's just anything will be turned into, anything is cannon fodder in this civil war. But the irony, I think, is that Congressman Ratcliffe, who did show what an effective prosecutor he is in the Mueller hearing, I thought his interview or his examination of Mueller was pretty devastating for Mueller. I think he's going to be far more valuable to Trump if he remains in Congress, because it looks like the Democrats, the majority of the Democrats in the House, do want to move to impeach. And to have somebody of Ratcliffe's capabilities and effectiveness on Trump's side in this, as we move into a potential impeachment or faux impeachment light, I think Trump's going to be happier that he's in Congress and not in the administration.
Plus, with Will Hurd joining other Republican congressmen from Texas who are not running for re-election in 2020. One quick note. You mentioned John Ratcliffe's interrogation, basically, of Robert Mueller. I think that was one of the top three highlights of the entire day of testimony of Robert Mueller. Do you think, had Ratcliffe not taken that role, would he have had a better shot at getting through the process?
Well, I think that that's what got him on Trump's radar. I think he was already on the radar, but that's what got him the Trump nod. But on the other hand, it also angered a lot of Democrats who then decided, well, he's far too political to have this kind of a position. I think it probably hurt him and it helped him. But at the end of the day, he'll be far better off and far more effective in the national conversation and debate if he remains in Congress as an effective spokesman than getting buried inside the intelligence community where the rest of the country never sees him again.
The maximum pressure campaign on Iran continues, and exactly this week it intensified. Imposition of financial sanctions on the Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif. That went down on Wednesday. Now, Mike Pompeo said yesterday, our Secretary of State said, sanctions on Iran have been effective and we will enforce them everywhere. Your assessment of where we are with Iran?
Yeah, we should enforce them and then we should ratchet them up if Iran doesn't come to the negotiating table. Look, the sanctions have been extremely effective, which is why you're hearing the Iranians complain about them. Iran's in terrible shape. Their gross domestic product, their GDP, contracted by 6% last year. Inflation's at 50%. They have youth unemployment is very high. In fact, especially among college-educated, it's something like 40% unemployment of the college-educated Iranians. And 75% of their population is under the age of 35, and they're pro-American. In addition to that, the Ayatollah, the guy who's really in charge, he's in his 80s, and he's in extremely poor health. So there'll be some kind of a leadership succession struggle down the road. And Trump's sanctions have almost completely shut down Iran's oil exports, except perhaps to China. And it's Iran's major source of income. Meanwhile, the United States economy has never been in better shape. We have record low unemployment, high consumer confidence. The stock market is setting records, and the U.S. economy, in fact, is one of the strongest economies in the developed world. So we've got all the time in the world. We have our own oil. We can wait Iran out. Iran doesn't have all the time. But on the other hand, Iran, the Iranians, they're the Persians, they're very proud people, and they don't want to return to a negotiating table humiliated. You know, Trump walked out of the agreement, their economy's in trouble. So I think that part of this has been waiting to the point where they feel good enough about themselves to negotiate. And I think they've gotten their macho back in the last couple of weeks. They've shot down some drones. They've gone after some Japanese and British ships. They've complained. So I think that they're in a good position if they want to seize the moment to come to the negotiating table and get what they really care about, which is the sanctions lifted and to be welcomed into the world economy. And if they're not smart enough to do that, if they just want to wait it out and hope that Trump maybe isn't reelected and then they can have the John Kerry guys back and they can get the deal they want, they may be sadly mistaken. And at the end of the day, we're going to negotiate with Iran. We're either going to negotiate with this Iran and the Ayatollahs and the leaders, or we're going to negotiate with the guys who take their place.
The president was criticized for pulling out of the treaty with Iran. After the behavior of Iran and the Straits of Hormuz, the capture of a couple of British tankers, where would you say we are with our allies now?
You know, that's another interesting thing. When Trump pulled out of the agreement, which he, I think, wanted to do at the beginning of his presidency, but was advised by the Secretary of State Tillerson and others, no, don't do it, don't do it. But he finally pulled out. Everyone expected the Europeans to jump up and down and go crazy. But in fact, they've jumped up and down. They've made a lot of noise. But the European companies have abided by, they've gone along with Trump's decision. And now that the Iranians have said, well, since the United States has pulled out, we don't feel bound by it, the Europeans are looking at each other, and they're kind of in a caught because they're looking at each other and say, well, wait, we signed this treaty too. Or what are we, chopped liver? I mean, why are the Iranians deciding they don't have to abide by the terms of it when we're still in it? So I think the Iranians have managed to do the one thing that Trump hasn't, which is, you know, the Europeans are kind of following Trump's lead now. So I think the Iranians are in even a worse position than they were. Their economy's lousy. They've lost the Iran nuclear deal. Their allies in Europe, or the people they thought would be their supporters in Europe, they've faded away. The American economy is terrific. And Donald Trump has no trouble walking away from a negotiating table if he thinks it's not a good deal.
Speaking of Europeans following President Trump, the president walking away from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia, and a lot of eyebrows were raised initially, but here is what the NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said about the president's move.
This decision is supported by all NATO allies, because no international agreement is effective if it's only respected by one side. Russia bears the sole responsibility for the demise of the INF Treaty.
So what's next, Katie?
Well, it's worth remembering or recalling, which I do, and all of your young listeners do not, why we have the Intermediate Forces Treaty in the first place. In the Reagan administration in the mid-1980s, we had an deal with the Russians, or then the Soviet Union, to both sides would go to 0-0. We would, neither side would have nuclear-capable missiles that could be intermediate or short-term. And the reason we did it was mostly because of Europe, because the Russian, then Soviet missiles could reach Europe. But once we banned them on both sides, then the Europeans could take a sort of a deep breath and feel better about things. I think in part it's the success of that treaty that's allowed the Europeans to say, well, we don't need to worry about our defense budget anymore. The Americans are going to carry us and the Russians aren't going to threaten us. But what's happened is in the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years, the Russians have started slowly but surely building missiles of the intermediate range that can go from Russia to reach Europe and that are capable of carrying nuclear weapons. So the Russians have, in effect, pulled out of that agreement 5 or 6 years ago, but we were still in it because we didn't formally pull out of it and because we don't cheat. Now we finally recognize publicly that the Russians have, in fact, been breaking the agreement for 5 years, and we are now in a position to then do the same thing that the Russians are doing. So the Europeans are going along with us. They're saying, yeah, the Russians have been breaking this deal for years. Now, thank goodness, the Americans have understood the reality and they have the capability of doing something about it. So would we ever have another one of those agreements again? Yeah, but the really important agreement country that would have to be included would be China, because it's Chinese intermediate-range missiles that can reach our allies in Asia, Japan, South Korea, Philippines, etc. So any agreement that doesn't include the Chinese at this point isn't really worth a lot.
Troop withdrawal on the horizon in Afghanistan. We're negotiating with the Taliban. Your assessment of how we got where we are and what's next there?
You know, I really think, Rick, that we made a massive mistake in 2001. We went into Afghanistan, rightfully so. We had every right to do it, to kill the people who killed our people. But then things got bogged down. We more or less destroyed al-Qaeda, and they were down to maybe 100, 200 ragtag band that included Osama bin Laden, but they were not effective anymore. And they, instead of pursuing them across the Afghanistan into Pakistan border through the Tora Bora Mountains, we should have just pursued them into another country and killed them and finished them off. But we didn't. We stopped. And we said to Pakistan, here, we'll give you $2 billion a year, you kill them for us. And, of course, Pakistan loved that $2 billion a year. They had no intention of ever really getting rid of al-Qaeda. And al-Qaeda grew in Pakistan. At the same time, we came up with a reason, a new mission. So we would stay in Afghanistan, the most inhospitable country in the world, the most backward country in the world, the most tribally, ethnically challenged country in the world, and we decided we would nation build. We would turn them into a modern democracy. We had to first teach them how to read, but then we were going to make sure that they were democracy. And it was mission impossible. But we stayed, and we stayed, and we stayed. And we lost 2,500 Americans. Tens of thousands were injured. We've spent probably close to $1 trillion. And what do we have for it? The first time I went to Afghanistan, I met an Afghan leader, and he was sort of tapping both wrists. He tapped my wrist, and he said, because I had a wristwatch on, he said, "You Americans, you've got the watches." And then he tapped his bare wrist, and he said, "But we've got the time." In other words, we Americans in the West would eventually get tired of it. We'd leave, whether it was in a year, 5 years, 10 years, or in this case, 19 years. But the Afghans would be there forever. So we were always... this was always going to be mission impossible to make them a modern democratic society.
KT, we've got about 30 seconds left. You mentioned you have a book coming out, mentioned it on the show last week. I got some emails, so can we get an update on that?
Yeah, well, the update is that I'm still waiting for certain agencies of government to clear it. But it to me is reinforced by what I saw with the Democratic debates. Both the Republicans and the Democrats are having a revolution within their party. The country's going through a political revolution. They're trying. The country's sick and tired of the establishment ruling class, and it's a populist revolution on both sides.
And you've seen it from the inside as well as the outside.
That's right. It's going to be a terrific bestseller, Rick. I will keep you and all of your wonderful listeners informed every step of the way.
Absolutely. We are looking forward to it. K.T. McFarland, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you for being with us this morning. The news is coming up next at 8 with Heather Curtis, then Garden Sense, right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.